Luke 17:11-19. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up, on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you."
Jesus is always looking for a place to put a miracle. Always. Feeding thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and 2 fish, and there were leftovers. Changing water to wine at a wedding. Raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Healing sick people. Not just physically, but also those with emotional conditions and broken hearts. Jesus' love and mercy constantly poured out. And on every occasion when Jesus healed, the healing was always towards the whole person, towards body and soul working together towards wholeness. And somewhere in a village in no man's land, somewhere between Galilee and Samaria, 10 lepers met Jesus. Those with horrific disease that affects the skin and the nerves, where the skin discolors and lumps form and eventually cause deformities and disfigurement. And many thought that leprosy was a punishment from God. If you were afflicted with leprosy, you must have done something that angered God. There must have been something you did to deserve being a leper. 10 people who were considered so unclean by the community around them that they were forced to live outside the city. They were forced to live in total isolation, banished from their homes, from the loving touch of spouses, children, or parents, not allowed to worship even in their own community. So pretty soon they formed their own little community. A community bound together through shared experiences and values. And even though they were considered unclean and they were shunned, they still had each other. 10 completely innocent human beings who were so feared that they were forced to wear bells around their necks to warn unsuspecting citizens of their presence, so the clean citizens can run from these so-called monsters. Get anywhere near them and you become unclean. You risk catching the disease yourself and you're cut off from the wider community. So the people's fears were not entirely ungrounded, but the part that was so wrong and so sad is that this fear was given support by the religious groups. The religious said lepers weren't sick. Their condition was an abomination. It was a disgrace. According to the religious law in Leviticus, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And as long as he had the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. This is the holy law. The law also instructed the leper who had been cured to go to the priests to be inspected and to make an offering of thanks. Everyone knew this, and the lepers dreamed of the day that they could go and be pronounced clean and rejoin their families and their community. The crowd fell silent. The disciples heard a new noise. An unwelcomed noise. Bells tinkling and weak voices calling out, "Unclean, unclean." And the crowd recoiled in horror at the sight of these 10 lepers. They were in rags and they were raising their hands in unison, crying out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Apparently, their little community had formed a life that had a healthy faith in God's grace, or why else would they have asked for Jesus' mercy? Why else would they know who to ask for mercy? They approached Jesus cautiously, keeping their distance as required by the law. "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Nothing, not a word, was said about healing. It's a simple request, but a profound one too. Have mercy. A familiar cry that they have been voicing ever since they were cast out of their larger community. The words fall easily from their lips. They are used to asking for mercy, for whatever Jesus might give them, food, clothing, shelter, whatever he decides to offer. And Jesus simply says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests. Go receive a clean bill of health from the officials who can grant it." Now, Jesus could have snapped his fingers, he could have stretched out his hand, he could have spit in the dirt and made a mud bath for them. He could have healed them on the spot. "Go show yourselves to the priests." Lepers learned quickly that they were not to ask questions. They were just to do as they were told. So off they scurried to the temple. And suddenly, as quickly as they had hurried off, the lepers stopped still, staring in shock and joy at one another's faces and hands, and the scars and open wounds of leprosy were gone. Their skin was a healthy brown, not a mark in sight. And at a dead run, 9 of them tore off toward the synagogue, already shouting for the leading rabbi to come see. But one is so moved, he turns around, he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and he praises God in a loud voice this time, thanking Jesus. This leper, in particular, is looked at as the worst of the bunch. He has yet an underlying condition that cannot be cured, one that runs much deeper than the surface of his skin, down to the core of his identity. He is a Samaritan, a double outsider, once by virtue of his leprosy and twice by virtue of his non-Jewish blood, a double loser. Ethnically, in the eyes of the religious people, he is as despicable as a dog. Without knowing it, this man handed Jesus a perfect teaching moment. Maybe sending him to the priests had nothing to do with his leprosy and everything to do with his humanity. Jesus asked the crowd who are watching wide-eyed at this spectacle, "Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Is this foreigner the only one who is going to praise God?" Now, foreigner or outsider is a startling word. In the language of that day, foreigner happened to be the same word that appeared on the keep out signs in the inner wall of the temple. The signs that were meant to preserve the house of God and to prevent it from being defiled by men, just like this one. 9 were fulfilling expectations and doing their duty by obeying the law. 9 behaved like good lepers, good Jews, but only one, a double loser, behaved like a man who had been loved for the first time in a long time. Jesus had done something for this Samaritan leper that no one else had ever done, that no one else could ever do. Jesus had given him life. "You go and show yourself to the priests. You're a child of God, and you have no cause to be ashamed just because you're a Samaritan. I'm rewriting these laws as we go along, and I'd like for you to help me with that. Go and show yourself to the priests, and on your way to the temple, please tear down that silly foreigner sign. God's house is open to everyone." The shunning religious community would not be able to deny the power of Jesus to heal a Samaritan. It was not walking toward Jerusalem that healed the leper. It was the mercy of Jesus. Jesus says to the grateful leper, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Your confidence in me has restored your health." Jesus' healing power has connected with the leper's faith. Now, we really don't know why the other lepers didn't stop to thank Jesus. Maybe they were just so excited about their healing that they forgot proper behavior. But then what is proper behavior towards someone who has just cleansed your body and made you whole in a way that in reality could not be done? Jesus gave the lepers the gift of God living in the world with them, the gift of God's mercy, a connection between them and God. No one, not a leper nor a Samaritan, is beyond God's mercy. No one. Hear these words from James 5, 13 through 16.
Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
James doesn't tell sick people to call a doctor, and he doesn't counsel them to take pills. He suggests the ancient use of oil as an ointment together with prayer as the way of healing the body and soul. James reminds us that the church is where ministry to and for each other takes place, in the companionship of community. Prayer calls the church to rely on God, who binds a community together. There is no magic in oil. It's a beautiful symbol of the healing that God desires for each of us. It's a beautiful symbol of God's presence with us. Oil and prayer don't guarantee healing, but when offered, God will respond for good and for his glory. Often miracles happen, but not always. And I really wish I knew why everyone who receives prayer and anointing is not healed. It simply doesn't happen that way. Something always happens, even if it isn't what we asked. God's power works through prayer. James calls the church into a healthy community, one that confesses sins to each other, suggesting that they trust each other. 10 lepers lived a life of faith together in their little community. Their relationship with God was reflected in one another, seeing the face of Jesus in each other, seeing each other's scars and brokenness, being Jesus to each other, accepting one another for who they were. They lived in a community of illness that was a community of faithfulness with radical trust in God. We don't have leprosy or a condition that makes us live on the margins of society. We aren't foreigners in our community, but one way or another, we are all wounded or broken. James suggests that a healthy community is one who recognizes the power of Jesus, drawing them into a deeper level of unity and trust, living in faithfulness with sincere love for all in the community, and where that love is reflected as the face of Jesus in each other. whole health that God desires for our minds and our spirits, for our so-called religious well-being, cannot be separated from our physical selves. We may try to deny it, but illness, injury, or mental trauma can control almost every step of our daily walk through life. Sometimes it's easy to forgive, but it's not so easy to forget. Memories clutch our hearts and the people we love with pain, touching every thought and motion by their presence, sometimes briefly and sometimes for years on end. Memories can build up resentment. Hurts from the past or present can be crippling. Ask someone who's been or is physically or sexually abused. Ask someone who questions their reason for living, or someone who is bullied, one suffering from a chronic disease. Ask someone who is trying to advocate for a person when another toxic voice overtakes the conversation. An orphan, or one with an addiction, someone with a life-threatening disease, or one dealing with gender identity, one who is grieving loss. Ask someone who carries family secrets and has been threatened if they are ever found out. Ask the Samaritan who feels outside the circle, or someone whose spouse is unfaithful. The list could go on and on. Getting over it and moving on is not easy. Things internalized have long-range effects. The struggle to live faithfully can feel pretty lonely at times. Individual wounds are real. Communal wounds are real. Think about your church community. There are some very wonderful, healthy, and positive happenings here in our Marian Mennonite community for which we are very, very thankful. However, a recent survey shows and reveals that hurts from the past still exist. Our community is broken, and communal scars are very real. A need for healing exists. Every congregation. The church's mission has long been to create space where people can experience God, especially in moments of weakness and brokenness, through the hands, voices, ears, and compassion of the broken people whom they worship and pray with. That's when God's healing most touches lives. That's when God's presence most touches lives and makes a difference. That's when it most happens. And we have a choice. We stay broken and bitter, or we ask Jesus for mercy. We ask for spiritual, physical, and emotional health. We ask for mercy to make us whole. We have a choice to practice our faith. One way for healing to come about is to renounce or to surrender the crippling hurts that have become entangled within our bodies and our hearts and our souls. In past years, hurts have taken place in Marian Mennonite's church body that have resulted in bitterness, mistrust, and resentment. And today I'm naming some of those hurts because they have been internalized. And like a spiritual leprosy, they are distorting and disfiguring our community. Naming them in the presence and name of Jesus takes power away from them. These incidents may be familiar to you, and they may not be. At one time, there were arguments over playing piano during worship service. Discussions took place regarding the question of divorcees being allowed to worship here. Pastors have come and gone, some loved by many, not so much by others. Decision was made to build a church addition. Not all were in favor and felt devalued in the decision-making especially when another showed up at their doorstep to convince them. Gossip has left some feeling betrayed. Some have experienced manipulation and abuse of power by toxic people. Some have been deceived money-wise. Some have experienced sadness and disappointment with the outcome to leave MCUSA. The youth group convention had been supported year after year by this congregation, and one particular year, some chose not to be supportive. The youth group felt the rejection. Unkind words have been spoken by some, heard by others. I don't like their worship style. They don't read the Bible I read. They don't dress right. So-and-so runs the show. Nobody cares about me. Some have left Marion because of hurts. Others have moved on for various reasons. Grief from loss of friendships and fellowship is raw. This fractured list could go on and on. Some have been hurt by the church. Some have caused hurts on behalf of the church. We are both a wounded and a wounding community. On behalf of the church body, if you have been affected by these or other hurts, I apologize. And I ask you to forgive the church that has done this. Practicing our faith together, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Lord, we hold these hurts that have been named in your light. We surrender the brokenness, pain, and scars we carry as individuals and as a church community. Strengthen our faith, rebuild our trust, transform bitterness to wholeness and peace. Jesus, have mercy. Amen. Another significant way we practice our faith is at the Lord's table, a place where we gather and remind each other of the greatest thing that ever happened to any of us. It is where we remember that Jesus' broken body unites us to one another, a place where we remember the risen Jesus who is present with us just as he was present with his disciples. Jesus is the host at the table. We are invited by Jesus to share bread and juice at his table, to be nourished by his life, by his love, by his forgiveness, by his healing, and by his strength. And everyone is welcome to the table. A place to experience communion, a togetherness, a real and personal encounter with Jesus and with one another in community, where we remember that Christian friendships are eternal friendships. If we're struggling with sin, it is a place to drink deeply of the cup of forgiveness. It is a place to surrender to Jesus' crippling memories. Take a look around the room. Think about the brothers and sisters with whom you are communing. If you have bad feelings towards anyone, consider how to put an end to unresolved conflicts within yourself. If you're grateful for the people within this church body, eat and drink with thanksgiving to Jesus. If you recognize this group as a community of the Lord, commune with thanksgiving. There's plenty of bread, there's plenty of drink. Take time to offer bread and cup and a cup to one another or to several others, even if it's somebody you've never spoken to. It's okay to drink more than one cup and eat one piece of bread. It's okay. It's okay to take some back to someone in their seat. And if you desire anointing with oil for healing and prayer, Pastor Carl and I will be available for that. Just simply let us know or find someone to pray with you. Offer mercy where it's needed. Be a face of love to one who least expects it from you. No one, not a leper, nor a foreigner, no one is beyond God's mercy. And you know what? Maybe like the 10th leper, we just might find ourselves filled with the gift of hopeful confidence, wholeness, and wellness. Jesus, have mercy. Come to the table. Take the time you need. All are welcome.